Amen. All right. Well, this is week two of our series, vision series that we're doing, and Forward on Purpose. Last week we we're just going to do a little bit of review. Last week we kind of set this whole thing up, and some of you weren't here, so I just want to re-anchor us in some of the things we talked about last week. And we started with a quote from Alice in Wonderland, from the Cheshire Cat, if you remember that. If you don't know where you're going, any road can get you there. If you don't know where you're going, any road can get you there. So if we don't have a plan, if we don't have goals and a vision for where we're going, then it doesn't matter what we do as a church. We just do whatever feels right in the moment, just kind of figure it out as we go, right? But if we want to go somewhere as a church, if we want to accomplish something specific, then we need to actually do what we do on purpose, right? With intentionality. We used the word intentionality last time. And so it's important that any church has a clear picture, a vision. We use that word vision, and we kind of throw it around and kind of, I don't know if it's clear what it even means to us anymore, because we throw the word around, right? But really, a vision is a picture of a preferred future. Right? It's a picture in our minds and our hearts of where we want to go, where we want to be a year, 5 years, 10 years from now, whatever. It's a picture of where we're going. And there's a lot of that stuff that we can get from Scripture. A lot of that is pretty clear what Jesus wants us to do, right? Big part of our vision comes right out of the Word, because Jesus left us with some pretty clear instructions and commandments of what we're to be about, what we're here on this earth as the church for. But I think too there are things, each church is in a unique community with unique circumstances and unique demographics of people around, and so we do things a little differently so that we can reach who God has called us to reach, right? So we said last week, we asked the question, where are we going? And we had some answers based on our mission statement, which is hanging on the wall, it's the first thing you see when you walk in the door out there. I don't know if you've noticed it, but it's staring you right in the face when you walk in the door, and that's intentional to remind us why we're here, what our mission is, right? But we said there's four E words in our mission statement. The first is exalt. Exalt means to lift up God, right? Elevate Him. God can't be any higher than He actually is. He is the highest. That's right. But in our hearts, we need to exalt God. We need to make Him higher in our vision and in our hearts, right? So when we speak of exalting God, it's not like, oh, God slipped and He fell down and we got to lift Him up. No. God is the highest above all things, but in our hearts, we need to exalt God. We need to lift him up. And so we want to foster an atmosphere of God's glory and presence. That's a pretty good goal, isn't it? We want people to come into this place and be whacked by the presence of God. That they would go, what is here? Right? We want to establish and foster a growing and greater sense of God's glory and presence in this house. Engage. So we're gonna dig into this one today. This is what we're talking about today. We want to go into our city, not hide from it. We want to find ways to serve and love, and particularly the missing generation. So we're gonna dig into that a little more in a moment. Equip. Next week, we're going to talk significant. You've heard us talking about these connect groups, and it's come out in the EB update. By the way, if you don't get our EB update, which is our email update that goes out almost weekly, sometimes doesn't get out, but we've tried to put one out weekly. If you don't get that, you're missing kind of part of the conversation of where we're going as a church. So it's please make sure we know that you want to get it so we can get that to your inbox. But you've heard us talking about connect groups, and we're going to talk more about it next week. But I believe, I really, really believe that as vital and precious and important as it is for us to gather on a Sunday in a large group like this, it is also vital for us to be in life-giving relationships around the Word of God that helps us strengthen and encourage each other. You can only go so deep on Sunday morning with people in this room, right? You come in, you might say hi to a few people, and you sit beside them and or sit across the room from them. And then you kind of connect a little bit on the way out the door, but really, we can only go so deep on Sunday morning, right? And we want to create opportunity for you and I to go deeper with a small group of people and help each other on this journey. We'll talk more about that next week. And then empower. We want... Here's what we often do. Here's the list of stuff that needs to get done around here. Let's find some people and plug these holes so stuff gets done. Right? Isn't that how we usually recruit people for ministry? But I think it's really important. I believe that God has a calling on each one of our lives, and he has connected our calling with the spiritual gifts, the natural abilities, all the stuff that he's put in us, he's connected our calling with all of that. So let's find out what you love to do and help you serve Jesus in a way that isn't a burden, but it's a delight, a joy, a thrill. And let's equip you and help you to walk in that. Because every one of us is a minister of the gospel. Every one of us is in ministry, right? Okay. I don't know. They're just like, okay, enough review. Let's move on. Keep going. So I want to talk a little bit this morning about our message of hope. Message of hope. So first of all, you've heard me say this before, but I just have to repeat it because I don't want any confusion around this word hope. It can be a word that we don't kind of get a handle on sometimes. And hope in the world's way of thinking is often, just wishful thinking, right? I hope we don't get another snowstorm this week, right? Amen. Everybody's with me on that one. I hope we don't. But that's wishful thinking, because we could very well. Another nor'easter could hit us and we'd be buried again, right? But biblical hope, Bible hope, what the Word of God means when it speaks of hope is not wishful thinking, but it is a certainty in our hearts that is based on the promises of God, which we know are true. Right? So in our dark moments, when it is difficult and we're pushing through some hard stuff, we need hope. We need to anchor our hearts not on our circumstances, not on wishful thinking. We need to anchor our hope, our hearts in the promises of God. And when we can see God's promise more clearly than we see our circumstances, then we are functioning in hope. Right? So we know what hope is, according to Scripture. Well, Jesus came into this world with a message of hope. In fact, in Romans 15, verse 13, we are told that one of God's names is the God of hope. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So one of God's names is the God of hope. He's not a God who possesses hope. He is hope. He himself is hope. And so when Jesus came into this world, he came in as hope. John, the first chapter of John says that Jesus, the Word came, the Word was the light. The Word was light, and that light was the life of men, right? The Word is light. The light of God is our hope. And so Jesus came into this world with a message of hope. And I love Luke 4 is right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Jesus comes to the synagogue in Nazareth, the place where he grew up, starting in verse 16. It says, Jesus went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to synagogue. And as was his custom, and he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And unrolling it, he didn't have a Bible with those little notches where you just, he got a scroll and he had to, turn through and find the spot. And unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written. So this is Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. What's he going to say, right? And he began by saying to them, "This day, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Why is it fulfilled? Because he's here. The one who came as the light of God in the world, the one who came with hope for all of these groups of people, the one who is good news to the poor. He showed up. And when Jesus left this planet, he said, Gospel of John, chapter 20, he said to his disciples, as the Father sent me, I am sending you. That means Jesus' mission statement is now our mission statement. Everything Jesus was on this earth to do and to initiate, we took up, he passed the torch to us, and it's now our job. So when Jesus says that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to do these things, that means when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, we can now say the Spirit of the Lord is on us to do each one of these things. We now pick up this mission, and this is what we are about. We are to go into this world with hope, good news for the poor. Now, yeah, that means we can spiritualize it, and it's true. We are here to bring good news for those who are poor in spirit, those who are burdened down and struggling and poor in their hearts. But I think we're also called to go to the poor. In fact, a major part of Jesus' focus was on the poor. He went around bringing hope to the poor. So any church that tries to do what they think is God's mission for them and ignores the poor are missing a big part of their job. So God needs us to bring good news to people who are financially, economically, spiritually, socially, and in every way destitute in their hearts. We have the hope to bring them. We have good news for them. And it involves, it certainly is, the news that Jesus came. But James, Jesus' brother, said, if you go to somebody who's poor and has no food and you say, go be blessed and don't feed them, what good is that? Your faith is dead. That's what James said. Your faith is dead if you just speak some words of blessing and leave them in their mess, right? Good news to the poor. Freedom for prisoners. Now, I think this can mean that you know, if there was a detention center in our city that we could do prison ministry, maybe that would be part of our calling. You know, we don't have that, but how many people are prisoners in their own hearts? Though they walk around free physically, they are imprisoned by all kinds of stuff, right? And we have the key to help them get free, right? Recovery of sight to the blind. And Jesus helped many blind people, physically blind people, see. And I believe we have that calling to see people. I want to see the level of healings through our ministry in this church. It's not just about, well, you only really get prayed for if the pastor prays for you. No. Right? Like, there are people in this body that have gifts of healing, and some of us haven't even maybe tapped into them, but I want to see the level of physical healing go way up. We have that calling. We have that ministry. But Jesus also spoke often about those who are spiritually blind. Right? Set the oppressed free. Need to keep moving here. The year of the Lord's favor. I want to just pause for a moment on this. We don't have a lot of time here, but I want to pause for a moment on this. Year of Jubilee, the year of the Lord's favor. So in the law, in the Old Testament, God told the Israelites that every 7 years, they were a farming society. Everything they did revolved around farming. God told them every 7 years. So in their week, he told them on the seventh day you need to rest, right? It's a very, very important spiritual principle. On the seventh day, you need to rest. Then he said, on the seventh year, every seventh year, that seventh year, you need to not plant anything. The land needs to rest, right? That's pretty intense for a culture whose entire existence centers around farming. That every 7 years, nobody plants anything or harvests anything. But God said, I will provide enough in the six years that you're going to be okay, but I want you to take a rest. But not only will you take a rest on the seventh year, but everyone who has debts, their ledger will be wiped clean. Every 7 years, everyone who has debt, your ledger is wiped clean. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Could we do that? Go talk to the bank and see if they'll do it for you. Then every seven patterns of 7 years, every seven sevens, every 49 years, on the 50th year after seven sevens was the year of Jubilee. Not only would your debts be wiped clean, but, and this sounds weird to our ears, but if you had sold yourself into slavery because of your debts, that sounds weird, but that's what they would need to do at times. They would need to sell themselves into slavery because of their debts. If you were a slave in Israel, you went free on the 50th year. You and your whole family are released from slavery. And not only that, but if you had sold property off to deal with your debt, all property that belonged to your family name was returned to you. You got the deed back. Jesus is saying, I am hope for all of these people, but I'm also here to say that all of your debts, spiritually, all of your debts will be wiped clean. And everything the enemy has robbed from you is about to be returned to you because God wants to restore you to your rightful place in Him. That's huge, right? We kind of read this over and go, I'm here to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Oh, God wants to be good to us this year. Isn't that nice? No, it's much deeper than that. He's saying this is the moment when you get everything back. The enemy is robbed from you and you get restored to the place that God intended for you. Jesus came with a message of hope for us, and it is our message. It is no small thing that we have a message of hope for this world, is it? We have a prophetic, and when I say prophetic, don't get weirded out by that. When I say prophetic, that means from the heart of God to your heart, or from the heart of God through you to someone else's heart. That's what prophetic means. We have a prophetic message for the world. We have a message from the heart of God. There are people who are disconnected from God, they are far from God, and they have assumed all the wrong things about who God is and what he wants for them. But we have a prophetic message of hope to take into this world. And we need to not hide from the world. We need to go into the world with that message. Jesus, in Luke 15, really quickly, in Luke 15, the chapter starts this way. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. The tax collectors and the sinners. All the worst people in town is what he's saying. All the people you would not expect to see at church. The tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." See, the religious leaders hid away from the disreputable people in town, and they said, we don't want them coming near. We don't have a message for them. They are outside and we are inside. But here's Jesus just hanging out on the street corner, having a conversation with the worst people in town, and they want to be with him. Because his attitude is different, his heart is different, and he carries an authoritative message of hope instead of a message of judgment. I heard somebody say this week, judgment is a terrible evangelism strategy. That's a good line. Judgment is a terrible evangelism strategy. Jesus is there sharing a message of hope, and people are listening, they're coming. And so Jesus then goes to explain to the religious leaders what he's doing, and he tells the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And he talks about how we're here, he's here, Jesus saying, "I'm here to go into those dark places, to go wherever I need to go, to find the ones who are lost. That's my job. Not to sit with the ones who are already comfortable in their religiousness, but to go to those who are lost." There's a, I don't know if you've heard of a well-known speaker named Christine Kane. She's from Australia, fantastic speaker and writer. Really love her stuff. And I remember her telling a story in one of the videos I watched about going to Walmart. She was visiting America, and she went to Walmart for the first time. And she said it was a 24-hour Walmart. She said, "Where else can you go and buy, you know, lettuce and a refrigerator at 3 o'clock in the morning?" Right? But she was astounded by Walmart. But she goes with her daughter, her 8-year-old daughter, and they go to Walmart, and In the checkout line, you know, the point of purchase things where they try to trap you to buy all this junk on the thing, right? And there's a Barbie flashlight in the checkout thing, and her daughter is saying, "Mommy, I want this flashlight. I want this flashlight." And so she, "I'll buy you a flashlight." So she buys the flashlight, and the little girl, she can't wait. She opens it up. She takes out the flashlight. And she turns it on, and it doesn't do anything because it's light in Walmart. And so she turns to her mom and she says, "Let's go find some darkness. Let's go find some darkness." And she's like, she had a clue. She knew what the purpose of the light was for. That. There is darkness in this world that needs the light, and we can shine it. We can shine the light in the light, but that's not really helpful. The light is meant to go into the darkness. And so our hearts should rise up and say, let's go find some darkness. We're not on the defense, folks. Our job is not to hide away from the darkness. Our job is to go into the darkness. And we have a tendency as the church to drift towards comfort and safety rather than moving towards the darkness. In Acts chapter 8, this is right after Stephen, remember Stephen, was stoned to death for his faith, right? And Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul, Saul was standing there giving approval. Stephen was stoned to death for his faith. Chapter 8, it says, on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Now, that's interesting. Godly men buried Stephen and they mourned for him. Where do we hear in the book of Acts Judea and Samaria talked about? Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But the church was comfortable in Jerusalem. They had become comfortable in Jerusalem. God needed to allow some persecution of the church in Jerusalem because the church wasn't going to Jerusalem, to Judea and Samaria. They weren't going where he told them to go, so some persecution needed to happen to get them out of their comfort zone and going to the places where Jesus had called them to go. How many know sometimes it's way easier to just get into the coming to church on Sunday morning mode and just kind of, right, doing the church thing and forget that we have a mission to do out there, right? All right. Well, I have another whole point, but we're not doing it today. So here it is. Compelled by love. I'll let you see it, but we're not going to take time for each of these this morning. But basically, Paul says, Christ's love compels us. When we know how much Jesus loves us, we should be compelled to take that love to people who need it, right? If we really get his love for us, and we can't help but take it to people who need it. Amen? Amen. And God has placed you and I in strategic places, all over this city, all over this region, near neighbors and, I don't know, the doctor you go to, the place you buy your groceries, wherever you go, I don't think it's by accident, but I think God has you strategically placed to bring light into dark places. Amen? Amen. All right, a couple quick things as we close about our week of prayer. We are tonight is going to be mostly a prayer meeting. I invite you to be here tonight. As we kick off our week of prayer, we are going to have three opportunities every weekday, Monday to Friday, for you to join us in corporate prayer. So I know you can't make it, so that's 15 times. 15 one-hour opportunities for prayer this week. I know you can't make it to all of them. I know you probably can't even make it to necessarily five of them, but you can make it to some of them. I know you can. You can do it. And I encourage you to be a part of this week of prayer. Our goal is, first of all, to bring some needs before the Lord, but also to be listening to Him. I mean, no, if we don't hear from God, how are we gonna navigate 2019 in a healthy way as a church or as individuals? We need to pray, folks. We need to pray. So here's a couple things. Ushers, could you help me with this, actually? These are little prayer requests. Before you leave your seat today, what I would like you to do is to write a prayer need. If you want two of them, ask for two of them from the ushers. Write a prayer need on this, and if you... what we're going to do is all week, those prayer needs are going to be available right here, and we're going to pray for those things. You're going to have people covering those needs in prayer. We're going to see some breakthrough this week.
Amen.
Three? We got three that are with me on that. We're going to see some breakthrough this week in prayer. I either put you to sleep. Is it hot in here? Is it like crazy hot in here? It feels like an oven in here. I either put you to sleep or you're waiting for the food downstairs. But write a prayer need on those, and we're going to cover those in prayer. On the way out, you're going to receive a little booklet. That booklet has, first of all, the schedule for prayer this week. Not every day is the same schedule, so you need the schedule. So there's a schedule for prayer this week, and there are five devotionals in that little booklet, one for each. You can do them Monday to Friday or whatever 5 days you want, but there's five devotionals there centered around our theme this week. Our theme is pray bold prayers. Pray bold prayers. And so each one of those devotionals is centered around that theme, pray bold prayers. So when you're done writing your prayer requests, maybe just drop them on the chairs on the way out. Just pile them on the chairs there, and we'll gather them and put them up here. And make sure you get your booklet on the way out. Sound good? Are we ready to see God do some awesome stuff this week as we pray? Amen. I don't know. They're hungry, I guess. We're going to close in prayer, and as we do, we're going to pray for the food, so you can go right down and start eating. How's that? Okay. God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the work that you're doing in our church. Thank you for the vision that you are unfolding for us in the days ahead as we, as a church, move into our city and make a difference in our city. God, you have called us to bring the light into dark places. And God, we know there are some dark places in our city that are desperate for light and hope. And so, Father, I pray that you would strengthen us and help us and give us clarity. Even as we pray this week, give us understanding and let us hear from heaven this week on how you want us to go. God, we need to hear from you. I pray that you would move in our lives, move through our lives, and that we just declare 2019 is going to be a year of fruitfulness and breakthrough in Jesus' name. Amen. And God, bless the food we are about to eat. Bless the soup in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks.